Blog Talk Radio.
Interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Welcome, friends, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, and seekers of the truth. But whoever you are, I know that one thing we all share in common. Don't we all want to know the truth? The truth about what's really going on here in this crazy, crazy world. So welcome to the 593rd edition of SDG, Sola Dea Gloria. And the title of today's message is 2023 Endgame Update Number 9. And a bit later in this message, folks, we're going to continue what we started last week. And that's tying it all into going beyond simply knowing the works of God and getting to know, literally, quite literally, the ways of God. You know, the Bible says, actually Moses said in Exodus chapter 33, verse 13, "Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider this nation is thy people." So I hope you stay tuned to learn the two ways that we can be acquainted with God. First, by simply knowing God's works in reality. And of course, that's worthy of our praise. But more importantly, I pray that we may know his ways. That's who God is. And folks, I'm telling you, that's worthy of his worship. And then when we know the ways of God through a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, we're quite literally unstoppable and for the peace of God. The bottom line, folks, is that as believers, we may be in this world, but we're not of this world. Why? Because we're just God's people. And what are we doing? We're passing through, folks, simply passing through. So let's all refuse to be destroyed by this Luciferian all-out war on humanity. And be sure to stay tuned to find out the latest news that the mainstream media is never going to tell you as we dive deeper and deeper into America's new 9/11 events, which are unfolding in slow motion while on steroids. But remember how it started, folks. It all started with this lab-engineered, media-manipulated coronavirus heist. And as we do every week, folks, let's get started with something from a past episode. Now, you know, last week, folks, we talked about the news that Tucker Carlson had been given access to all of the January 6th protest footage from the Capitol. You know, they call it the insurrection. Well, Axios reported that House Speaker McCarthy, you know, the rhino, Republican in name only, handed over 41,000 hours of J6 Capitol footage to Tucker Carlson at Fox News. But hold on, folks. There was a catch. Yeah, there's always some devil hiding out in those details, isn't he? So, of course, Tucker's team had requested specific access to, let me reword that. Tucker Carlson had thought he received unlimited access to all 41,000 hours of tapes, where in truth, what's happening here, and this is where it's really crazy, happening here is Tucker's team has to request specific access to specific footage that they cannot record, photograph, or even make copies of the videos. And this is what's actually going on. So we get all this news out there last week telling us how wonderful this is going to be. We're going to have complete transparency under the new Speaker of the House. And then what does he do? He throws a curveball.
What? Are you serious? Are you serious?
Can I have some more coffee?
That's right, Paul. I am serious. Now, the House's excuse was that they didn't want Al-Qaeda to know the access or the details on their escape tunnels under the Capitol. Now, since this announcement, 33 J6 defendants, along with other news agencies and even MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell, have demanded and even sued for access to these videos. Then just this past Thursday night, on the Tucker Carlson show, Tucker told his audience that he will release information this coming week on his team's analysis of the, he said, 42,000 hours of video footage from the J6 protests. So what do you believe, folks? What do you believe? Well, let's listen to Tucker.
So the defenders of democracy are out defending democracy again. They're telling you it's really, really dangerous, and anyone would get to see the thousands of hours of surveillance footage from January 6th, which has been hidden from the public for 2 years, as a tiny group of people gets to make up stories about what happened that day and change the country on the basis of those stories. And we respectfully disagree. We think people should, in a democracy, be allowed to see what their government is doing and get as much evidence as they can. And it turns out the public agrees. Rasmussen, the polling firm, just found that 80% of American voters believe it's important that the public should be allowed to see the videos from January 6th. That would include 86% of Republicans, okay, but it would also include 78% of Democrats, 78% and 75% of independents. Wow. So you're defending democracy, but you're denying people information on the basis of which they can make their own decisions. How does that work exactly? Well, it's not democracy, of course. It's building a bulwark against your lies being revealed. And they are lying. And we know that because we've been looking at the tape. We're going to bring you information on the tape and some of it next week. And we think it's going to be really, really interesting.
Folks, this is just more rhino BS. And that's the truth. The release needs to be in its entirety, all 41 or 42,000 hours of unedited footage. It should be all made available to we the people, the public. It's not the Congress's job. It's not Tucker Carlson's job. It's not CNN's job or anyone else's responsibility to pick and choose what you and I may or may not see. We the people paid for that video, folks, and we the people should be able to look at all the footage and make up our own minds. And then if that isn't bad enough, Chuckie Schumer, the senator that never seems to go away, just this week sends a letter to Fox's owner, Rupert Murdoch, demanding that Murdoch fires Tucker Carlson.
What?
I know, Paul, calm down. Just when you think it can't get any stranger. You know, Senator, what is he, senator in majority? He's from New York, okay? And you know these New Yorkers are a bit wacko to begin with. This past Wednesday, he demanded that Rupert Murdoch, a private citizen, silence Tucker Carlson, another private citizen, and other news hosts. And he wrote, order Tucker Carlson and other hosts on Fox News to stop spreading the big lie. You know, he's referring to the fact that the 2020 and the 2022 elections were stolen. More on that a bit later in the show, folks, when we talk about dog kings. Just remember that. So Schumer, along with House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries, sent Murdoch a letter demanding that they essentially censor Fox News hosts. Paul, do you realize what's happening here? Two high-ranking federal elected officials sworn to uphold the Constitution contacted a private citizen, that's Rupert Murdoch, the owner of a major news network, and then they're ordering him to silence his employees. Hey, they're trampling all over many people's First Amendment rights here. First of all, Murdoch's right to broadcast all this. Secondly, Tucker and the other news hosts' rights to speak it. And thirdly, yours and mine to hear it. So the owner of a major news network has been threatened by a government official. Well, here's a message to you, Chuckie and Jeffries. Tucker's protected under our First Amendment. So is Murdoch, and so am Tucker. And you know how we're protected? We're protected by our Second Amendment. Got it, Chuckie? Now don't forget it. And that's the way it ought to be, folks. And that's what transparency is all about. Now we have to keep moving, and right now it's time for Sister Kathy's and Brother Alex's Freaky Deaky News Update. And as we do every week, folks, We always get started with our coronavirus heist wrap. But before we do, I want to tell you, I got the new connection up. We have high-speed digital internet here, finally, at the broadcast studios of SDG. And I'm working on a new sound system, or actually the old sound system. It didn't work. So, Brother Alex, if you hear it, or Sister Kathy, or any of you listeners, please let me know what the sound quality is. I'll be checking it after the show. And then the next step is to get a whole new podcast platform. And since I do have the high speeds now, praise the Lord, we can start uploading videos and maybe get this out on Rumble and some other platforms in a video format. And if there's anybody out there that would want to help me edit these, get some images up there along with the audio, that would be fantastic. But we have to keep moving, and right now it's time for the coronavirus heist update. You know, I wrote that about 3 years ago, right when the scamdemic unfolded. And I used that term, the great equalizer. Well, it certainly has been, but not for the reason they touted. The great equalizer is that we're all equal in death. Get the jab and increase your odds of dying. That's the great equalizer, folks. Not the fact that we all had a lockdown. Not that we were all in this together. And not all that other propaganda they spewed on us. Well, as you know, folks, we always get started with our sudden adult death syndrome update. And this week, for you. This is tragic. There was a 42-year-old swimming champ, U.S. swimming champ, died suddenly on the Virgin Islands where she resided. This was 42-year-old swimming sensation Jamie Kell. She won a gold medal in the Pan Pacific Championships back in 1997. Dead. And the doctors are baffled. Let's listen to the local news report and how they covered this.
Jamie Kell has been a fixture in her Virgin Islands community for nearly two decades, sharing coffee and kindness with everyone she met.
She was a very beautiful person.
A star athlete in her youth, Kell was born in Claremont, competing as a swimmer across the country and representing her home state with pride.
She's just a really kind soul.
But Tuesday, her life was tragically cut short when police say she was found unresponsive in her home in St. John. According to investigators, Kell's boyfriend came home to check on her shortly after midnight and found her lying on the floor. He brought her into a nearby health clinic, but she died from what police called her, quote, ailment. Friends said she worked at one of the local coffee shops and was well known for her warm nature.
She had a huge heart. She was really loving and kind and well-loved and, you know, popular on Ireland, and everybody knows her.
They say she was a bright light in the world and will be truly missed from the Virgin Islands all the way to New Hampshire.
Everyone from the older generational local families to the younger people, everybody loved her.
And the doctors are baffled. Now, I've been thinking, you know, baffled could be code for bet another Fauci flop led to extreme distress or extreme death. Folks, I remember a time when if there was an unknown cause of death, especially in a young person, you know, a sudden and unexpected death in young a person, what did they do? Well, they always called for an autopsy. But now it looks like that's not being done as standard operating procedure anymore. It's looking like the families have to request it. And I wonder why. Could it be that these government officials don't really want to know what suddenly and unexpectedly causing all these young people to die suddenly? You know, I've been thinking, Fauci's fingers of death, they're probably a lot longer than the blood clots an autopsy would pull out of her leg. Her lifeless, suddenly dead leg. Oh, and by the way, in this day and age, this died suddenly era, if you want to call it that, at 42 years old, you could be called having lived a long life. Think about it. She's got 20, maybe 30 years more than some of these died suddenly victims. So in this new clown world, soon I think the news readers may be referring to this as a living a long life. You know, today everything's relative and nothing, including the truth, seems to be absolute anymore. But we know that the rock of truth, Jesus Christ, is immutable, unchanging, and everlasting. Praise the Lord. And we can partake in that. We can literally share in the wisdom and knowledge and the power of Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? Now think about it. People could be out there saying, well, what's her being a champion swimmer have to do with anything in this story? Well, there's two things. One, once a champ swimmer probably means that she's a gym rat, you know, one of those fitness freaks. Pictures of her, and she looked fairly fit. And most of these types of people, they're socialites. So they had to get every poison booster if they wanted to get into the clubs and do all the publicity and all that. So she's probably a gym rat, fit and in shape, watching what she eats, exercising, taking care of herself, and she's probably jabbed. Now, here's one more. The family confirms that a 28-year-old actor died suddenly from complications with his heart. This was actor Jansen Panettiere, I guess is how you say his name. He died suddenly on February 19th in New York due to heart conditions. Need I say more, folks? It's sad, but another one bites the dust, and I don't say that smugly. So jab on, dummies, and don't forget your boosters. Hey, did you see that Pfizer continues to run these ads to get your boosters? Be sure to get your booster. And now there's a huge push by none other than Pfizer, and I saw it last night on network television. Get your flu shot. And did you know now that the flu shots are also mRNA? But how'd they do that? Don't you need an emergency to dump an untested new medicine on we the people? What happened to the rigorous multi-phase, multi-billion dollar clinical trials? You know, phase one, phase two, phase three, double blind and all that fun stuff? Folks, these mRNA jabs are an accelerant. What they do is the spike protein aggravates any condition you currently have. I heard one doctor call the jabs miracle grow for cancer tumors. You know, they have to take and suppress your immune system so that these mRNA strands get in there and they're not taken over by your T cells and your other immune system antibodies, and then they'll start to do their work. Folks, I'm literally out of words for everything I'm seeing with regard to this. That's the big lie. Not what Schumer was accusing Tucker Carlson of being guilty of earlier. The big lie is the jab and the scamdemic. I'm just out of words for this. When's the mainstream media going to wake up? Well, maybe things are starting to change. Because now there's another lefty out there, none other than Woody Harrelson, you know, from Friends, or no, what was it? Everybody Knows Their Name. What was the name of that show? I forget. The one set around a bar. Anyways, long story short, Woody hosted for the fifth time last Saturday night's episode of SNL. Fifth time hosting, so he gets his jacket, folks. But he didn't go by the usual playbook. Instead, he called out the vaccine manufacturers for being the biggest tells in the world. So let's have a listen to it's not even 30 seconds, which caused a firestorm in the fake news this week. Let's just have a listen.
Hey, so the movie goes like this. The biggest drug cartels in the world get together and buy up all the media and all the politicians and force all the people in the world to stay locked in their homes, and people can only come out if they take the cartel's drugs and keep taking them over and over. I threw the script away. I mean, who is going to believe that crazy idea?
So there you heard it. Woody actually came out on national television and said that the biggest drug cartels in the world bought up all the media. Brought to you by Pfizer, folks. You know, Saturday Night Live used to be the funniest show on television. I grew up with it. I loved it. And then over the years, it's sort of lost its way from being one of the funniest TV shows in the world to becoming nothing more than the clown world platform for the mostly leftist Marxist agenda. And then for years, it just bashed any conservative philosophy and thought. And then along comes Trump and look out. But recently, I've been noticing a change. Now, Woody's monologue on SNL caused a firestorm across the fake news. And the question is why? It's comedy, isn't it? So what's the big deal? And yet another huckster named Bill Gates can say things that we know are patently false now, and there's nothing from the mainstream media. Do you know Bill Gates actually had the nerve to say that COVID came from bats and were spread by global warming? Some reason the clip's not playing, folks. That's what he said. Wow, won't play. That's the first time I've ever had that happen. Well, anyways, in that clip, Gates basically said that COVID came from bats in China and it spread around the world because of global warming. You try to figure that out. We know now it came from a lab. It's all over. And the latest bombshell out there is the fact that the mainstream media is picking that up and they're talking about it. And yet Gates continues this bat propaganda without even a whisper of pushback from the brought to you and paid for talking heads, you know, the Pfizer fakes. And then a little later in that interview, Gates went on to say that Elon Musk is making misinformation on Twitter even worse. So do you believe it? Oh, and by the way, folks, it wasn't merely rumor. And now many pundits are actually saying this concerning Woody's monologue. They're saying things like, well, you know, it was just humor. He didn't really mean it. He never really implicated Big Pharma and the jabs. Well, guess what, folks? All you have to do is listen to a podcast he was on, Bill Maher's podcast. I forget the name of it. I'm looking for it right here. I don't have the name of it, but it was last fall in September. And all you have to do is listen to this, and you'll realize that he wasn't joking last Saturday night. This wasn't a joke. Let's have a listen.
Is the CDC promoting that we have to do all of these things, right? I don't like profiteering in war, you know?
Right.
Think of the billions of dollars that have gone to Big Pharma. But I was getting back to my original point. The last people I would trust with my health is Big Pharma and big government, because neither one of those strike me as caring entities.
Spoken,
you know,
as the perfect redneck hippie. Really, if that message doesn't...
I mean, they're
no,
all about profit.
Exactly.
They're all about profit.
And both sides
and
know that.
They've seen the profit they've made.
I think they've done a lot of studies about vitamin D and how important it was when the people who had low levels, they were much more vulnerable to COVID. Why not
yeah.
tell people that? Can't yeah. you make money selling vitamin D? Is it that kind of... What's the worst that could happen?
But that's just it, man. There was only one thing, you know, ivermectin got made into a, you know, horse tranquilizer, a horse, whatever it is.
Which it is, but also used by humans.
It's used by millions and
millions.
Hydroxychloroquine got made ridiculous. And there was only one thing that could work, and that's the vaccine, right? And so ultimately, because of that, billions of dollars was made.
I'm having some kind of lag here, folks. I don't know if the audio is okay. We're just going to have to see how it goes. Anyways, I did find the name of Bill Maher's podcast. It's called Club Random. So you can listen to that entire interview out on Bill Maher's podcast, Club Random. It was from last September. So, okay, now we've established that Woody Harrelson upset the libtards, and he wasn't joking. So he pushed back on the establishment media on national television last weekend, and we see that this wasn't the first time. So all that they've been telling you for damage control is a lie.
So he publicly voiced both his distrust of big pharma and big government. Now, I don't know if you know it or not, but Woody's got Marxist tendencies. And on that interview with Maurer, he was stoned out of his mind. You can see it in his eyes. But he brazenly dispels any notion out there that he was just joking. So let's get it right, mainstream media. If I can do that here on this little show, if I can pull these pieces together and prove that your narrative's a lie, you shouldn't be doing it. Now, we can add Woody to the list of all the reformed libtards out there, all the jab advocates. There's a big list. You know, there's Tim Robbins, Bill Maher, John Stewart, and who else? I rattled off a list last week. But hold on, folks. It even gets worse. And this isn't merely opinion. This has come out in the latest Reese report by Greg Reese. He confirms that the CDC has shown that the majority of the fatal jabs were sent to red states. You can't make this up, folks. So let's have a listen to this Reese report. It's about 3.5 minutes long. And hear it in his own words.
Last year, we published a report entitled Evidence That U.S. Government Targeted Red States with Deadly Batch of Vaccine, a story that most outlets ignored. Private leaked documents from the CDC show a list of expiry dates, and only certain lots are included, the very same lots found to be highly toxic in Parda Cooper's database. This mode of deployment allows governments the ability to direct deadly batches into specific populations, such as red states. Analysis of the number of dying per 100,000 vaccinated in 50 states shows us that the overwhelming majority of vaccine deaths are happening in red states. Second smartest guy in the world on Substack also reported on it and has recently published an update, writing that now we have a more robust and far more damning view of this carefully distributed depopulation scheme. Back in Ohio of 2021, the expose publishes a report on data found in the USA's VAERS, Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, which reveals that 100% of COVID-19 vaccine deaths had been caused by just 5% of the batches that can be identified. And these deadly batches were not distributed evenly. The top 8 states with the highest vaccination death rate, Kentucky, Arkansas, West Virginia, Montana, Alaska, North Dakota, Wyoming, and Tennessee, are all red states. 19 of the top 24 on the list are red states. And California has been the least affected by the deadly lots of COVID vaccine. The numbers show that Kentucky has a 1,900% worse vaccination death rate than California, suggesting that Kentucky received 20 times the amount of deadly batches than California did. Florida, number 20 on the list of most vaccine deaths per vaccination, received 3 times the amount of deadly batches than California, with its vaccination death rate at 200% higher than California's. The author points out that these deadly batches would be better classified as rapid kill lots and slow kill lots, as we are now seeing more evidence that they kill over time. And the evidence shows that red states were targeted with the rapid kill shots. This would go along with the United Nations Agenda 2030 plan, which seeks to move the entire population into crowded cities and federalize all of flyover country in the name of climate change. They have less than 7 years to accomplish this, and they are deadly serious about it. The U.S. government is in lockstep with the United Nations, and they will resort to murder and democide to accomplish their goals of total control. Many are suggesting that this is what is happening in East Palestine, Ohio, right now. The people of America are under attack by their own government, who is never going to quit until they accomplish their goals or unless they are stopped. Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
lot of people have been asking, where did Gray get that information from? Well, there's a website out there called knowyourjab.com or something like that. If somebody has it, could you please email it to me? What you do is you put your serial number in, and it tells you which of the three batches you're out of, the saline, the normal jab, or the death jab. And then I guess within the death jab, there's subsets. There's the sudden death jab and the slow kill death jab. You know, this all reminds me of a song from that movie White Noise that we talked about last week. The government knows more than it says. Let's have a listen.
They were running because they didn't know what to do. The townspeople were scared. They were in awe of the crowd. It was beautiful.
And I think that was a great segue into our Kabuki Theater update.
COVID-19, George Floyd, Rice, BLM, police reform, the 2020 elections. All merely coincidence? I hardly think so. Folks, it's called Kabuki Theater. Kabuki means salt. Bu means dance. Ki means steal from the verb. Kabu meaning to slant or display. Folks, it's all a lie. It's the flattened curve. The curve of the economy, stupid, must slow down the velocity of money. Or it'll hyperinflate before we're done. Stealing it all. Trump, bad. Must go. Good is bad. Bad is good. Up is down. Light is dark. It's all Kabuki Theater, folks. Prepping the masses for Agenda 2030 and the new world. Just say no to it all and wake up before it's too late.
And I think it's a great segue because, speaking of not trusting big government, did you hear that Erin Brockovich broke her silence this past week after visiting the train crash site over in East Palestine, Ohio? And I'm telling you, Biden wouldn't like what she had to say. So this past week, she visited East Palestine, Ohio, and then she came on Tucker Carlson last Friday night, and she had a lot to say. So let's take a listen to what Erin Brockovich told Tucker Carlson. This wasn't last night. This was a week ago. So everything's delayed by about a week. So we have Erin Brockovich telling Tucker Carlson some real truth bombs here on the Tucker Carlson Show. Let's have a listen.
East Palestine and Ohio and Ukraine are not technically related in any way, but you still can't help but notice the difference between how they are treated by the Biden administration. So the administration just announced another $2 billion in funding for Ukraine. We sent them over $100 million already, but no money for the people in East Palestine, who, as you well know, were exposed through no fault of their own to toxic chemicals. Erin Brockovich is in East Palestine tonight, and we thought it would be interesting to talk to her. And thank you so much for coming on. Do you know, I mean, can you see the disparity in the... Oh, of course. Can you see the disparity between the concern for the people of Ukraine, you know, which I'm not discounting as real, with the concern for the people in East Palestine? There seems to be a huge difference.
Well, it's certainly concerning to the people of East Palestine. I mean, you know, we're pushing a month now, and I still don't have any answers. It's very obvious something's really gone wrong out here. I've been out here down on the ground, and they're really frustrated why they don't feel that their agencies or their administration cares about what's happened to the community. So it is very apparent they are concerned and not being seen or heard.
So that you make such an interesting point, and I don't know the answer to this, but you've been around this kind of thing before. You think that there's something specific that they're not being told. That's your sense?
Yeah, there is. And I mean, it's like, oh my gosh, come on. We're out here. What, 44,000 fish are dead? We've seen them. We've seen them out here today, aerating the creeks. They're removing stuff. The wellheads are locked. What's up? Look. You don't have to go any further, in my opinion, than a 100-year study that we all know the miners did for us. It's called the canary in the mine shaft. Send the canary down there, it dies, might not be good for humans. You have dead fish, might not be good for humans. You have dead animals, might not be good for humans. You've sent a horrible mixed message to this community. Drink the water, don't drink the water. Safe, not safe. It's horribly confusing and extremely frustrating to them, and something actually has gone wrong here, and there's information that has yet to come forward, and the story will continue to unfold.
That's so nicely put. And I just want to pick up on something you said. The wellheads have been locked. What did you mean?
So in the schools, so the children can't drink the fountains, and then on private wells around here, they've got locks on them. So they obviously, come on, if there's no problem, you don't need to lock a drinking fountain, you don't need to be aerating the system, and you can explain away all day long to me that nothing's wrong, but I see what's going on here.
Yeah, I think it's better
to
make decisions based.
You're not going to gaslight me.
It's better to make judgments on the evidence than on the words. I agree with that. Thank you, Aaron Brockovich. Good to see you tonight.
Thank you, Tucker.
So Brockovich concluded, you're not going to gaslight me. Folks, America's being gaslit, and there's more proof of the gaslighting from Mike Adams. Mike Adams has been covering this in a lot of detail, and he has four contradictions. And when you hear these contradictions, like they're saying it's safe to come back, and then the governor's drinking the tap water, yet they lock out all the water fountains at the schools, and they're telling people not to use their water wells. Yet it's okay to come back and it's okay to drink the water. Well, Mike Adams has done a very good job in this next short little minute and a half clip on the four contradictions. Listen to this.
And we're focused on this issue, and it is getting more mysterious and more ridiculous by the day. Because again, now all these contradictions emerge, and let me just summarize them again and I'll wrap this up. So the contradiction is, one contradiction, the EPA says, oh, it's all safe, nothing's toxic, it's all good, go back in. But then at the same time, boom, millions of gallons of toxic water that have to be disposed of in a licensed hazardous waste disposal system of some kind. There you go. Contradiction number two, you wouldn't have had the toxic firefighting water if you didn't start the fire in the first place. And contradiction number three, you don't need to start the fire, because apparently these companies are licensed to dispose of vinyl chloride anyway, so you didn't need to set it on fire to dispose of it. You could have just called this company, Texas Molecular, I guess, to just come get the vinyl chloride. And instead of it being millions of gallons, you know, it would have been just whatever was in the train cars. And contradiction number four, you didn't need to set it on fire in order to eliminate the risk of the train cars exploding, because they had already taken the vinyl chloride out of the train cars. Therefore, this whole risk of an explosion and, quote, shrapnel was already non-existent by the time they set fire to the vinyl chloride. So, again, those are four contradictions I can think of. Nothing adds up. This is beyond incompetence. It's like Twilight Zone at this point, Twilight Zone. We are being lied to, obviously, by all these officials. There's a massive cover-up underway. And still to this day, nobody has tested for dioxins. So what does that tell you?
Thank you, Mike Adams. Those were four classic textbook examples of what Aaron Brockovich was referring to as gaslighting. And that's why I said that clip from the White Noise movie, The government knows more. It applies. It applies to the scamdemic. It applies to the election fraud. It applies to the J6 lie. It applies to the reality that the establishment is now trying to spin so they can advance their New World Order agenda. And what is that? Population reduction and the Great Reset. But we have to keep moving. And right now, it's time for our newest segment, Follow the Yellow Brick Road.
Follow the Yellow Brick Road. Follow the Yellow Brick Road.
Follow the Yellow Brick Road. Follow the Yellow Brick Road.
Follow the Yellow Brick Road.
Follow the Yellow Brick Road.
Follow the Yellow Brick Road. Follow the Yellow Brick Road. Follow, 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 follow the Yellow Brick Road.
You can be in the winter of wind, if ever a winter was. If ever, or ever a winter was, the winter of Oz is one because of the wonderful things he does. You're off to see the wizard, the wonderful wizard of Oz.
And for the new listeners, folks, the Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. So if you want to find where the evil's coming from, just follow the yellow brick road. And that's what the Wizard of Oz was all about. It was actually about the money system. And the yellow brick road was the gold standard. There was a big battle going on back then when that was written between the silver interests and the gold interests. And that's what that was all about. Sure, it was a great children's story, but it was also a political commentary. So this report out this week from the newscrypto.com, Japan set to launch a CBDC pilot program. So the Bank of Japan has been working on this platform for about the last 2 years, and their executive director, Shinichi Uchida, intends to achieve better designs through conversations with private enterprise. There you have fascism, folks. You have the private and the government sectors coming together. So the private sectors own it. The government sector controls it. And that's the standard definition of fascism. Since 1922's horrible bear market, the Bank of Japan had been working diligently to get this CBDC currency ready to launch. So they have announced this digital yen pilot program, and it's going to, like I said, come out in April. And they're in the testing phase now. And they said the results of this test are going to give them a launch date for what they're referring to as the, quote, product, unquote. So the Bank of Japan executive director, Shinichi Uchida, stated, and I want to read this one, quote, if a CBDC were to be issued in the future, exploring its framework is such a in such a phased manner and engaging and highly transparent, and a little bit more on that in Ken's Corner. Communication with the private sector is necessary steps to take for adoption in society. And what he wants to do is catch up with China, because China is way ahead on this. And he's going to use private enterprises in the testing phase. Folks, Japan's rushing to this for one reason and one reason alone. They don't want to be left behind when the WEF's front man, China, launches this new gold-based system. And I think there's going to be a great battle between the Western banks and China and Russia. But this is all moving lockstep towards feudalism, folks. Don't think China and Russia are your friends. They're just the other side of the tyranny coin. Now, China's already using a digital currency, wrongly called money. You know, it's not money. It's not currency. It's a zero and a one on a computer program. And it's known as ECN. To catch up in this race, you're going to see other countries also follow. And a bit more on that later, you know. Now, the establishment spinning this entire thing is trying to say that the digital currency is a good thing because it's going to battle against money laundering and corruption. But the problem is, what happens if the government's corrupt? Oh, no, you don't think they're corrupt, do you? Well, the love of money is the root of all evil, and we know that because the Bible tells us so. Now, Uchida also claims that the Bank of Japan would treat the pilot program as a real-world experiment And listen to this, and this is the key, by simulating interactions with commercial financial institutions. You know, that reminds me of the simulation clip from White Noise. I think I might have a little short version of it. Remember we played that last week? You can find it. I'd like to play that for you. You know, one thing that's better, now that we have the high-speed internet here, I can actually call up these clips a lot faster. So here's a little, just shy of 2 minute, White Noise clip where, I forget his name, the main character, the professor father, he's talking to the one bureaucrat in the military tent when they were isolated because of their exposure, and it's all about a simulation. Just have a listen.
What does SimuVac stand for?
It's short for simulated evacuation, a new state program they're battling over funds for.
But this evacuation isn't simulated, it's real.
We know that, but we thought we could use it as a model.
Are you saying you saw the chance to use the real event in order to rehearse the simulation?
Yeah, we took it right to the streets.
How's it going?
The insertion curve isn't as smooth as we would like. You know, we don't have our victims laid out where you'd want them if this was an actual simulation. We have to make allowances for the fact that everything you see tonight is real.
What about the computers? Is that real data you're running through the system, or is it just practice stuff?
You watch.
It was only a fact for 2.5 minutes.
Well, the only thing that she was exposed to is good luck.
That's how many seconds?
I'm getting bracketed numbers with pulsing stars.
What does that mean? I mean, am I going to die?
Not as such.
What do you mean?
Not in so many words.
How many words does it take?
It's not a question of words, it's a question of years. We'll know more in 15 years. In the meantime, we definitely have a situation.
What will we know in 15 years?
If you're still alive at that time, we'll know much more than we know now. So 19D has a lifespan of roughly 30 years, so you'll have made it halfway through.
So to outlive this substance, I'll have to make it into my 70s?
I wouldn't worry about what I can't see or feel. Now, I go ahead and live my life. Get married, settle down, have kids. There's no reason you can't do these things knowing what we know.
But you said we have a situation.
I didn't say it. The computer did.
And what the computer says is not a simulation, despite that armband you're wearing. It is real.
It is real.
So after they've run all their simulations, don't worry about what you can't see or feel. You know, folks, they use simulations for everything, from the scamdemic to the unrest that food shortages will cause, to the entire scam and fraud of the ancient alien Project Blue Beam narrative and the UFOs, you hear that starting to come out, to the soon-to-be-released central bank digital currency. So after they've run all their simulations on the banking system and the new way of doing commerce, because it's really not money, folks, add in another false flag or two as an excuse, they're going to launch this central bank digital currency along with a tracking program. Okay, I know. Right now, some of you are probably saying, well, bro, Ken, you've gone too far at this point. Oh, really? Do you think so? Well, listen to this clip from the recent World Economic Forum financial discussions. This is Canadian Alibaba Group President J. Michael Evans bragging. He's bragging in this that they're working on tracking where we eat, where we shop, where we travel, and how we travel. Just take a listen to this short little 25-second clip that tells all. And this is the reason we can't trust the government, folks.
We're developing, through technology, an ability for consumers to measure their own carbon footprint. What does that mean? That's, where are they traveling? How are they traveling? What are they eating? What are they consuming on the platform? So, individual carbon footprint tracker. Stay tuned. We don't have it operational yet, but this is something that we're working on.
Can't make this stuff up, folks. Did you hear that? So this is a mover and a shaker. He's the Canadian president of Alibaba, the big website for import-export from China. President Co Evans bragging at the recent Global Economic Forum that the globalists are working on a tracking system that monitors where we shop, where we eat, how we travel, and where we travel. You know, this is something the tech giants, Google and Apple, are already doing. And don't even get me started on the new Apple 8 smartwatch. I got one of those, folks, and I'm about ready to smash it. Maybe I'll do a segment on that next week, maybe in Ken's Corner. You know, it's better called a prison bracelet. Folks, it's time to wake up. What happens after the data collection stage? That's where it gets really scary. Folks, people like me and others in the alt media, call us truthers. I've been doing this for 30 years. We're tracked, we're banned, we're censored, smeared, suspended, removed from, and frequently lied about. And why? Because we're truth tellers. We're transparent, like they should be. And what are we guilty of? Disagreeing with the fraud Fauci and his lockdowns, COVID mortality rate reports, the wet market lie, the quote-unquote vaccines, and don't even get me going on vaccines for children, or the effectiveness of hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. And then there's the masking scam. That's been proven to be ineffective, and the school shutdowns, ineffective. And these manufactured COVID mortality numbers when every death was being called a COVID death. And then there were the vaccine mandates. And all along, we were speaking out on this stuff. And then there's the suppression of the VAERS data. And now the CBDC's administering all of this and test piling it through the private sector. Let me translate private sector through Apple and Google wallets. Folks, I'll pick my method of payment. And I'll pay any business in any form of currency that I want to do. And if I choose to buy it or not, that's going to be up to me. And if I want to use cash, I'll use cash. You know, folks, buying food should never have any restrictions on it. No restrictions, including my food choices or my food quantities. Food's a necessity of life. Now, thankfully, people are starting to wake up to this tyranny, and they're beginning to oppose it. You know, if you deny me my ability to buy food and limit it based on my choices of social behavior within the guidelines of the law now, reasonable, constitutional-based laws where I can express my right to my opinion. If you deny me food for that reason, I'm telling you that I myself, along with tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of patriots in this country, are going to defend our God-given constitutional rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Oh, and one more thing on that. It isn't just Japan and China rolling out these CBDCs. In the last week, there were articles I saw out there on the web saying that Russia, yes, Russia, folks, India, and even the United Arab Emirates are all doing the same thing. Can you believe this? You can't make this stuff up. Alvin, I thought you'd give me a really right now. Where are you at, Alvin? Oh, and you know what? I noticed that we have Mika Brzezinski from The Morning Joe, you know, over at MSNBC. Mika, are you there? Mika, what do you have to say about all that?
Thanks, Mika.
Sounds like it left you speechless, Mika. Thanks for clarifying it to all the listeners. Folks, when all this comes to fruition, we're going to have to live off the grid. And we're going to have to build a black market of sorts. And that's what I see coming. I don't think there's a choice to it. There's this clip we've played numerous times on here. It's called Mega Cities on the Move. And I was thinking about this. It's sort of like The Brave New World. Not the book, but the TV series. Did you know about that, folks? There was a Brave New World TV series. And let me see if I can call that up. You know what? I dropped that. I apologize. But anyways, they have these cities just, and one of them is called New London. And then there's these people out there outside of it all, you know? They're the ones that resisted. Let me see if I can get it. Brave New World. This should come up very fast. Well, this is so nice, folks. Brave New World. Brave New World summary, TV series. Brave New World, TV series. So here's the Brave New World TV series. Let's see if we can find this. And I apologize. I like to keep these shows moving. I don't waste time. Here it is, Brave New World TV series. So in this, they have this dystopian world, and the citizens who are in the system, so to speak, they live in New London. But then there's those resistors that live out in the wilderness. They call it the savage lands, okay? And that's where people won't go along to get along. That's where people won't use the central bank digital currency. And in that, you have reality. In that, you have life. In that, you have what God created us to do. Work the soil, toil, labor, and then enjoy the fruit of our labor. You know, these dystopian stories, along with the other one, Mega Cities on the Move, let's have a listen to this clip I have there where they talk about the ghettos. Okay? Let's have a listen.
I don't care what you say, Alec. They don't deserve to live in that ghetto. They are completely disconnected. No high-speed transport system, no new internet. They miss out on jobs and many essential services, too. Oh, hi again. What a day. I had to make an emergency visit to the Cry Freedom ghetto. I mean, I miss my sister like mad, but I'm glad they went when they moved to New Amsterdam. They're safe from climate change on the floating city. That must be her now. It's much easier to meet up with friends virtually now. So many cities have banned cars in central areas. Ooh, looks like she's got some juicy gossip.
Cry Freedom ghettos, folks. Did you hear that? It's all predictive programming. And that's also known as revelation of the method. But we have to keep moving, and right now it's time for Coop Talk with Henrietta. There you are. Hey, Henrietta. Hey, I told you all, folks, that since I've been giving her some kitchen dry goods from my mother-in-law's kitchen when we clean out the house, the girls are laying again. So I do think there's something to that entire report that the Tractor Supply laying pellets and laying mash, 16% protein, we're causing the chickens not to lay. But that's not what I want to talk about today. What I want to talk about is keeping our bodies, the vessels, you know, our life support systems, whatever you want to call the bodies, healthy. And there's a couple things we need to do. And I've talked about this before, but we need, before we go through this regime that I'm going to lay out for you, we need blood tests specifically for liver function. But you can just get your basic panel. And I always get some others. I get a vitamin D level, and I also get a C-reactive protein, which is a very good marker for inflammation. So once you have a baseline established, what I'm going to propose that we all start doing, and I'm actually going to do this, start with a good detox, get a lot of these chemicals out of your system, the phthalates that come from fragrances, anything from the soaps that you bathe with to the detergents you use to wash your clothing and the air fresheners and all the other things that are in the manufactured products in your house. You want to get all that out of your system. And as you do that detox, you want to continue to monitor liver function. And then all along the way, you should be sprouting because of the greens, the phytonutrients found in greens, the sulforaphanes and the broccoli-type products and a lot of the other green phytonutrients have been found to actually help eliminate from your system a lot of these poisons, including the dioxins that we're all exposed to. And then I think it's very important for all of us to do a parasite cleanse. Classic gold standard for parasite cleanses is a combination of black walnut oil, clove oil, and wormwood. And Now Foods has a very good tincture of that available. You can get it out of Now Foods and some of the vitamin distributors, and I do think Amazon may sell it. And all along, folks, I'm not a doctor, and I am not giving medical advice here. I'm just telling you what I do. And what I'd like to do is get into more detail over the following weeks on how to actually do the parasite cleanse and specifics on detox and some more details on sprouting. But right now, folks, it's time to keep moving, and it's time for our Hopium report. I can find it here. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Hopium Report, where dreamers of all sorts come for their faith snort. Prepare to get high on Hopium. Now, you know what happened this week with Woody Harrelson over on Saturday Night Live has actually given me some hope. So earlier in the show, in the COVID heist update, we touched on Woody in the bombshell anti-COVID mandate skit that he did. Now, the radical actor turned freedom fighter, if you want to say, has further clarified his position on all things PSYOP, like I showed on the Bill Maher podcast. And it's all over. He actually did a interview with the New York Times this week, and he's warning that America is no longer a free country, and he's branding the COVID protocols as rather absurd. So I'm hopeful here, folks. I'm hoping that the world's starting to wake up. And when he was asked on what's actually absurd about COVID protocols, I loved his reply. He said, the fact that they're still going on. And that's true, folks. I mean, we have scientific proof now that the masks don't work. And when my mom fell and had to go to the hospital for observation last weekend, you go into those hospitals and you still have to do all that stuff, the social distancing, the masks. It was like I was in clown world, folks. And then he went on to say, I don't think that anybody should have the right to demand that you're forced to do the testing, to wear the mask, and forced to get vaccinated 3 years on. And I'm telling you, Woody's spot on here, and he's stirring that pot. And this thing isn't going to go away. And that's why I put it in the Hopium Report. Now, Woody is the guy that used to play, we used to play Woody on the old Tribulation Now show before John went hyper-pharisaical on me and Kathy and backstabbed us, you know, his co-founders. Me and Sister Kathy and John, we created that show. We had a very good thing going. And then what John do? He went and deleted every one of the shows. He basically became some Pharisees out there telling you all these crazy things. And I'm not bashing him, but I am telling you this, folks. He took show content that was not his to do, and he destroyed it. Thousands of hours of work. So I wanted to play you a clip on how we used to do that, but I can't because John deleted it all. But you can go out there and find some of Woody's old YouTube videos when he was one of those truthers out at Yellowstone, warning about the caldera and the soon-to-blow Yellowstone volcano. But like I said, this isn't going away, folks. You know, Woody's little monologue has been picked up by the news all over. He was on Tucker Carlson, and I think I have a clip here. Just listen to what Tucker had to say about it.
So it's Saturday Night Live, which is filmed live at NBC Studios at 30 Rock on 6th Avenue in New York. The audience always applauds because they're told to. But if you watch on Saturday night, you may have noticed the studio audience that night was weirdly quiet during the end of the opening monologue. They didn't know what to do. Woody Harrelson was describing a crazy idea he'd had for a film script, an idea so wild and unlikely no one could possibly take it seriously. Here's the idea.
So the movie goes like this. The biggest drug cartels in the world get together and buy up all the media and all the politicians and force all the people in the world to stay locked in their homes, and people can only come out if they take the cartel's drugs and keep taking them over and over. I threw the script away. I mean, who is going to believe that crazy idea, being forced to do drugs?
Wait, did he just make fun of Pfizer? I mean, Catholic Church is one thing. The family is another, but Pfizer? Not allowed. He must be insane. And that was the verdict of the media. The Washington Post, for example, reported this, quote, on SNL, Woody Harrelson pushes popular COVID-19 conspiracy theory. Really? Where's the conspiracy theory there? The Daily Beast echoed that. Woody Harrelson spews anti-vax conspiracies in rambling SNL monologue. Now, Rolling Stone magazine, which was founded to fight the power, obviously came out on the side of the guy fighting the power. Oh, no, just kidding. Rolling Stone used exactly the same headline. So the same people who said you're crazy for thinking that COVID may have come from a Chinese biolab now say you're crazy if you dare to complain about Pfizer, which is buying them off. Shut up, don't laugh! Hard to think of a better way to make Woody Harrelson's point than that.
And then there's John Paul Watson. He's also weighing in on it. Let's listen to what John Paul Watson had to say about Woody's skit on Saturday Night Live last week.
Woody Harrelson spreads anti-vax conspiracies during SNL monologue.
Yes, Woody Harrelson went full anti-vax conspiracy theorist during his SNL monologue tonight.
Woody Harrelson spews anti-vax conspiracies in rambling SNL monologue.
Woody Harrelson rambles about weed anti-vax conspiracy in SNL monologue.
Woody Harrelson's Saturday Night Live monologue makes COVID conspiracy jokes.
My God, this sounds horrendous.
You must have really gone off on some kind of sustained, deranged rant, right?
Wrong.
I read these headlines expecting some kind of elongated, embarrassing meltdown.
Then watched Woody Harrelson's 6-minute 45 second opening monologue,
and the first time I watched it,
the bit where he supposedly went off on this anti-vax rant
was so mild, so inconsequential, I missed it completely.
I had to watch it again just to specifically find where the joke was,
and here it is.
The biggest drug cartels in the world get together and buy up all the media and all the politicians and force all the people in the world to stay locked in their homes. And people can only come out if they take the cartel's drugs and keep taking them over and over.
That's it. Less than 30 seconds.
Was that really worth the hysterical reaction encapsulated by these frenzied, blaring headlines?
Chances are about half of people would have missed the joke anyway if these stories hadn't drawn attention to it.
Oh, and that's the point.
It's a joke. Why are you all so precious over it?
COVIDian's so fragile.
Nobody's looking to Woody Harrelson's SNL monologue for serious, sober medical advice, are they?
If you're that emotionally incontinent, oversensitive, and impetuous over a joke about the sacred jibby-jab,
that says a lot more about you and your big pharma-funded industry than it does anything about Woody Harrelson.
So there we heard from Tucker Carlson and John Paul Watson that the mainstream media's in a tailspin over this. They're in damage control mode. Now, before you go too far with the hopium here, you got to hear the backstory on Woody. There's a really good article over on a Substack page called Tom Siebert, Substack.com. Occult strategy, conspiracy theorists get a Woody for the autocracy's freeze-thaw revelations. So we don't have to cover everything that just happened with Saturday Night Live. We already know that. But what I'd like to get into now is what's actually going on. This is precious too, folks. I have this called up on my iPad because I wanted to talk about it. And I just had it all queued up, and now the entire iPad goes blank. Let's see if we can redo that, reload the page. Here we go. So anyways, it's a derivative of the revelation of a method, which is a derivative or the precursor to the actual predictive programming. And now this thing is not. What is going on here, folks? I have no idea why this thing isn't loading. Because it just was. I just had it on the. You know, I did an upgrade on this because I mentioned earlier that I bought that crazy Apple Watch and I had to do an upgrade to my iPad and my iPhone. And this new upgrade is not working, folks. It is not working. So let's see what's going on here. We're on T-Mobile, so we have internet. It's just simply not loading. I have no idea why either. Oh, here it is. Slow. But the internet speeds are smoking, which means that this particular website is being throttled, folks, because we have very high internet speeds. So anyways, Woody Harrelson has a very dark past. His dad, I believe, is a convicted murderer, and his dad was involved with some of the things going on with the Robert Kennedy assassination, I believe it was. But don't quote me on that, because I can't call this up. And then he gets into some of these occult methods of the revelation of the method. And I'm going to have to cover this next week because I can't get this page. Hey, folks, we have to keep moving. But I just want to warn you that Woody is not our savior. And that's why this was all in the Hopium Report. But right now we have to keep moving, and it's time for our Absurdian
Ladies and
Report.
Gentlemen, welcome to the world of the absurd. This is The Absurdium Report.
Life mimics theater, but fiction is safer. The curtain rises. The show begins.
Now, speaking of absurdities, folks, and they're happening more and more as this world loses touch with reality, they are. Just this week, we have three diverse yet related, and they're related because they're all absurd. Oh, guess what, folks? Pad just told me that you can't load the page because the page isn't responding. I'm telling you, folks, when people like Tom Siebert puts out these truth bombs, things happen. And one of the things that happens are these denial of service events where they just take and do bot attacks on that site, and then you can't get on it. And that's what apparently just happened here. But speaking of absurdities, we have three. And this next story is beyond absurd. And I'm telling you, it's downright insane. Now, did you ever hear the term paraboy and demiboy? Neither did I. But you have to listen to this LGBTQ drivel that's out there on TikTok. And just listen, and I wish you could watch it. And like I mentioned, once we get all the bugs worked out on this new audio system, we might be able to start doing video. Take a little bit of planning, but then I could actually play these clips for you, and you could start to see what I'm talking about. But in this next clip, there's this androgynous individual. I don't know if it's a guy or a gal or whatever, but just listen to the drivel on paraboy versus demiboy.
What's the difference? Paraboy versus demiboy. People who identify as paragender feel as though their gender is made up of a dominant gender and a minor gender or genders. And people who identify as paraboy feel as though their dominant gender is male. While their minor gender could be any gender and genders, but their dominant is male. Versus people who identify as demiboy, who feel as though part of their gender is male and the other part could be any or multiple genders. The only difference between paraboy and demiboy is people who identify as paraboy know that their dominant gender is male, while people who identify as demiboy feel as though their gender is partly male. People who identify as demiboy may feel that part of their gender is male, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it is the dominant gender. Versus people who are paraboy who know that their dominant gender is male. Not every paraboy and demiboy are the same as other paraboys and demiboys. And they may identify as any way that they want to identify. But we love all our paraboy and demiboy.
You know, folks, the crazy thing about all this is that the solipsists basically, this is a logical fallacy. I mean, you know what? We're going to get into a paraboy, demiboy deconstruction. That's a good one, too. Let's do a paraboy, demiboy deconstruction. So we're going to do paraboy, demiboy deconstruct. And then we're also going to look at Tom Siebert. Those are going to be two things for next week's show. I think it's solipsism. But anyways, clown world, folks. And that's why TikTok is a national security threat, because our impressionable young people are being influenced by this garbage. Feeling as though you're a boy? Feelings are fickle, folks. The fact is you're either a boy or you're a girl. Remember what Mr. Rogers said? Remember what the little boy from the movie said? Boys have penis, girls have vaginas. No kidding, folks. And speaking of absurd, here's a completely different absurdity. You got to hear this one. So Angela Davis, let me type in Davis, I think it was. That's how we set this clip up. Davis. Boy, this is getting a little wonky now, folks. Having a little bit of trouble here. I'm going to do a speed test real quick here. Make certain that we still have our high-speed internet. Nothing's changed. Because something's happening here. Davis. Get Davis up here and have a listen to this. Now, we've talked about Angela Davis in the past. She's the Marxist professor that kind of spawned the entire dystopian thought concerning critical race theory. And by the way, folks, if you haven't seen what's going on with critical race theory, have you heard about South Africa and the collapse of that country? They are the incubator for critical race theory. The entire country collapsing right now. Thank you, Angela Davis. But this past week, she was on Henry Louis Gates' PBS program, Finding Your Roots, and you have to listen to what he revealed to this Marxist about her shocking heritage. This will blow you away. Have a listen.
Any idea what you're looking at? That is a list of the passengers on the Mayflower.
No, I can't believe this. No. My ancestors did not come here on the Mayflower.
Your ancestors came on the Mayflower.
No.
You are descended
no.
from one of the 101 people who sailed on the Mayflower.
Oof. That's a little bit too much to deal with right now.
Did you ever in your wildest dreams think that you may have descended from people who laid
never
the foundation
never
for this country?
Never.
So it turns out Angela Davis is a descendant of a Mayflower pilgrim. You can't make this up, folks. So her ancestors are those evil white men that she's been railing against for years. Angela Davis, I have a clip here that we played quite a while ago on her talking about change. Listen to this Marxist. I'm not going to play the whole thing. Let's just listen to a little bit about her philosophy, okay?
Of course, this moment, this particular historical conjuncture holds possibilities for change that we've never before experienced in this country. I don't know whether I would compare this moment with a massive uprisings in the 1960s. What I would suggest is that there is a continuum, a historical continuum, and in 2020, we are finally witnessing the consequences of decades and centuries of attempting to expel racism from our societies.
So how do you convert protest and anger around the world right now into genuine change? Can it be done without major political change?
Well, of course, the change has to come in many forms. It has to be political, it has to be economic, it has to be social. What we are witnessing are very new demands for who knows how long we've been calling for accountability for individual police officers responsible for what amounts to lynchings, for continuing the whole tradition of extrajudicial lynching, but under under the code of the law. What we are seeing now are new demands to demilitarize the police, demands to defund the police, demands to dismantle the police and envision different modes of public safety. We're asked now to consider how we might imagine justice in the future. This is a very exciting moment. I don't know if we have ever experienced this kind of global challenge to racism and to the consequences of slavery and colonialism.
But can you see a time when actually getting rid of police forces and starting again with something new is anything other than a minority interest?
Well, of course, the city council in Minneapolis, Minnesota, where George Floyd was so brutally killed, has decided to disband the existing police department and to have conversations with the community about the meaning of public safety. And we know that police are called upon to respond to a whole range of issues that should not be subsumed under law and order, that should not be attended to by armed people. In the U.S., people who have mental disorders and are having episodes are generally subjected to police violence and police presence.
So there you have it. Angela Davis, half black, half white, and all red. And she's a descendant of the Mayflower Pilgrims. Here's a little known factoid, folks. The first slaves brought by to America by quote-unquote evil white men were in fact white men, women, and children who were brought over to America as indentured servants. Did you know that, folks? And then these African tribes over in the dark country waged war on their neighbors, and then they sold the survivors that were defeated to the African slave markets. And that's how black slavery got started. The Kenyans were the dominant tribe at the time. Oh, by the way, you know Kenya, where Barack Hussein Obama was born? So Barack Hussein Obama's forefathers were slave traders, and they profited from selling their own people into slavery. And then to add insult to injury, we've got Davis's proteges on The View revealing how much they hate America. So this report from Sky News, Mr. Morris, if I can call him up, Sky News, Mr. Morris, Mr. Morrow exposes The View and the woke ESG regarding East Palestine. Just take a listen to this.
Well, if you watched this program for any length of time, or even worse, admitted you did in the wrong company, you'd have realized by now a sad but simple fact about the left. They hate normal people and want them to die. Now, I know that sounds a bit like, you know, hyperbole or hyperbole, as Julia Gillard might have put it, but really, it's true. Yes, Gillard. So, you know that train wreck in America? I'm talking about the one in East Palestine, Ohio, by the way, not the one in the White House. Well, the one that dumped all those horrendous chemicals into the air and river and killed livestock and pets, and where the same people who spent 3 years shrieking at everyone to put on a mask turned around and told the locals who lived nearby to go back home and drink the tap water? Well, I think we may have an answer to what's going on with this hypocrisy, courtesy of those lovely ladies at The View.
He placed someone with deep ties to the chemical industry in charge of the EPA's Chemical Safety Office. That's who you voted for in that district. Donald Trump, who reduces all safety. He did.
But
in those
showed
days.
Up at
do
McDonald's
they
that?
And voters saw something on the ground that probably resonates in a
that's
way that
the
they
thing.
Need
but they need to look past the photo ops, these people, and say, who's doing the job here? Forget about the photo ops.
Showing up is a big
showing
thing.
Showing up,
now.
I think,
I think this is Donald Trump's fault.
Yeah, did you hear that, you stupid Ohio hicks? It's your fault you've been hit with this disaster. You voted for Trump. Take your medicine, goobers. This is, of course, a common thread we hear often on the left, the idea that disasters which befall their political enemies are like plagues and punishments sent down by the gods of wokeness to smite those who fail to put their pronouns in their email sign-off box. Well, whether it is lefty writers like James Wolcott, who once cheered on hurricanes and natural disasters smashing up rednecks in Florida, or Democrat media outlets blaming Republicans for dying of COVID because they didn't follow a quote-unquote science that looks shakier by the day, this elite loathing for normal folks who don't vote like they're told has been around for decades, if not longer. But now, with this train crash in East Palestine, this loathing is turning into a real political headache for Democrats who still want to hold on to office next year. And with Joe Biden too busy stroking Zelensky's biceps in Ukraine and Transport Secretary Pete Buttigieg too busy complaining about white construction workers seriously to do his real job, well, is it any wonder that Donald Trump stepped in to deliver water and encouragement and other supplies?
Hello, everybody. That's a nice, beautiful-looking group of people. So I know this menu better than you do, okay? I probably know it better than anybody in here. We're going to take care of the fire department.
Okay.
We're going to take care of the police department.
We love you! We love you!
What do you make it?
Biden not showing up. You showing up before he's
terrible.
For Trump.
I think it's terrible. You know
thank
that.
You so
oh,
much
let me
for
see
coming.
That.
Okay, thank you, sir. Thank you for your service.
What's your
thank
message you, to Joe Biden oh, before you leave?
Thank you. Get over here.
Yeah, right.
Contrast this with how things went for U.S. Transport Secretary Pete Buttigieg, who was shamed by Trump's visit into showing up in East Palestine the very next day.
First tweet expressing concern for the residents of East Palestine a week and a half after the accident happened. In hindsight, was that waiting too long to express anything hours after you had addressed the makeup of work crews on highway construction projects just that very day?
Was it a mistake not to come here sooner?
You know, what I tried to do was balance two things. My desire to be involved and engaged and on the ground, which is how I am generally wired to act, and my desire to follow the norm.
What can he do on the ground today that would actually help you guys?
I think that for a lot of people, it's a little, no matter what happens right now, it's going to seem very late on the federal response. This happened on the 3rd of February, so.
The political cleanup operation in the White House is now almost as messy, which of course it will be when Karine Jean-Pierre is left holding the bucket on the question of whether Biden himself will go out to East Palestine, to Palestine, to do some old-fashioned presidenting.
Again, following up on East Palestine, can you at least, I know you can't say the president has plans to go there now, but is it in discussion that the president may go there in the near future?
I just don't have anything to share. I know there's a lot of interest on that.
I mean, I guess the question for folks there, though, at least to say it's in discussion, has it been something that's even under consideration?
I mean, I think what folks should understand and what folks should, I think, feel at ease is that the president has taken this very seriously.
Taking it seriously? Is she zooming us?
Zoom. All I can every time I think of Zoom is that
throwing
my generation. Who's Zoom and who?
No, but seriously, for Democrats and the high priests of the woke American media, this has all been very revealing about their attitudes towards ordinary Americans, Republicans, and of course, Donald J. Trump. Not only did the proletarians out in East Palestine not have the good grace to shut up and accept this disaster, which was clearly their own fault for voting for Trump, stop yelling about it and making things look bad for Biden, but then Trump had to go and have the bad taste to show that the Democrats don't even pretend to care. Who's zooming who, indeed?
You know, folks, God bless James Morrow and Sky News Australia. There's a rational breath of reason there. Witty, yet rational thinking as they deliver the truth. Amen? I can't believe these liberals actually had the nerve to blame these poor people there in East Palestine for this disaster because they voted for Trump. And then imply that the people of Ohio deserved it because they voted for Trump. What's wrong with these people? That's the basis of Marxist ideology, folks. So when Angela Davis brings all this absurdity into the narrative, the wits on The View pick it up, and then they do it. Like I told you, folks, this is all related. Then you got the paraboy demoboy freak over there on TikTok. What's wrong with these people? You know, they feign a compassion as long as you go along with their narrative, but where's their true compassion? Where's their concern? Aren't the Democrats supposed to be the party of love, tolerance, acceptance? Aren't they? Yet they don't even care about these people. And those women on The View, heartless, callous witches. These callous comments prove to me that they're terrible people. So why do they do it? Well, I'm telling you, the Bible tells us why. In Matthew chapter 24, verses 12. Now, just let's do verse 12. And because iniquity, that's lawlessness, shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. So you may be saying, well, what's lawless about all this? Well, for starters, there's the big lie, the in-your-faces election fraud, Then there's insider trading in Congress, corruption of all sorts of various regulatory agencies from the FDA to the EPA to OSHA and everyone else in between. How about the SEC? Don't even get me started on the Federal Reserve, folks. And the then there's the September 11th Commission. And then there's that money laundering operation going over in Ukraine right now. And Hunter Biden's laptop. The entire Jacine Maxwell case. And how about the Epstein Island travel list? That's iniquity, folks. That's lawlessness. And one more. How about all the geoengineering going on nonstop across the skies of our once great nation? You know, folks, chemtrails. I'm looking outside right now, and it looks like spring. We had 60 or 70 degree day this week. And everybody say, oh, that's weather change. Yeah, it's weather change, climate change. But it's being geoengineered, folks. And that's just off the top of my head what I just said there. That's all lawlessness. And because of this lawlessness, Jesus warned us in the verse I just read that the love of many will grow cold. And that's what you see here. And that's why you heard that callous, uncaring spirit from those women on The View. And why the rhinos and the Democrats are turning their backs on the poor people of East Palestine, or Palestine as they call it. We have to keep moving. I looked at the clock here. And it's time for Ken's Corner, spelled with a K. Welcome to Ken's Corner, spelled with a K, where I'll share my life experiences to help you understand what's going on in this crazy, crazy world. So let's get started. Sorry, folks, had my mic muted. I've been trying to be a bit more active on social media to get the listenership up. So I'm posting on Twitter more. I'm using Sister Kathy's and my old Tribulation Now Facebook page, and welcome to all the listeners from there. So I posted a meme this week, and it was a photograph of a lion that's being front lit by the sun. And it says on a black background, "The truth is like a lion." You don't have to defend it. Let it loose, it will defend itself. And that was some wisdom from someone very well known in the Christian world, Saint Augustine. And there's so much truth there, folks. So much truth. And that's what we need in government, transparency, yet that's what we lack. You know, the leaders right now are preparing the world for the son of perdition, the man of sin, the Antichrist, the political leader, and his false prophet, the religious leader, and I think that's going to be the head of the Roman Church, to prepare for the end times, where the Antichrist will literally rule the world. You know, it's the rebuilding of the Tower of Babel, so to speak, the late great slave reset, you know, the great reset, the revived Roman Empire, the Fourth Reich, Mystery Babylon. There's all sorts of different names for it, but at the core, it's all the same thing. The globalist digital prison. You know, I was talking about the Apple watches. I do believe they're going to be used before the chips are actually inserted in your forehead or your forearm. So we've got digital ID, digital currency, digital health passes. All aspects of our lives are going to be controlled digitally. And they have a computer over in Brussels. I believe it's called the Beast. You know, this is advancing everything that we could read about in the Bible. Genesis 11, Daniel 2, Daniel 7 through 9, Daniel 11, Daniel 12, Jeremiah 30, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And then don't forget to read Revelation chapter 6, 7, 13, 17, and 18. And I recommend, folks, you read it in the King James. I'd like to read a few quotes to you. These are just things that have been stirring in my mind as I prepare this show. Whitaker Chambers, back in 1952, said, "The communist vision is the vision of man without God." And a lot of people call that the brotherhood of man and the fatherhood of God, little g. Remember, Lucifer's their God. Then there was another man, the first director of the World Health Organization. from 1946 to 1953. You know, the group right now that Biden's about ready to give our national sovereignty over to control all future scamdemics? Well, Brock Chisholm, the first director of the WHO, said, to achieve world government, it is necessary to remove from the minds of men their individualism, loyalty to family traditions, national patriotism, and religious dogmas. Folks, I'm telling you, seek the Lord while he may be found. In Christ, we have the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. So praise the Lord, folks. But we have to keep moving. And right now, it's time to jump into Back to the Future, where we take something from the past and bring it back to the future. So this week, folks, I'd like to wind the clock back and talk about something from the ancient past. I want to talk about dog kings. Yes, D-O-G kings. Something you may never have come across before, this concept of a dog king. So I'm going to wind the clock back to some literature written in the 11th century, where several accounts of pre-Christian Scandinavian tradition from the 6th century were detailed. Now, I don't know if I can pronounce these, but there's several Scandinavian works where you can read about the dog kings. There's the Chronicon Lathrensis, the Annals of Lund, the Gesta den Norum, Book 7, the Heimskringla, and the Hervorsu Negra Begoist. I probably butchered all those pronunciations. But anyways, these are accounts of the 6th century Danish king Helga. He had defeated the Swedish king Endigils, and so he sent a small dog to the Danes. Wait, I maybe have that backwards. No, okay. The Swedish king Endigils apparently defeated the Danish king Helga, and so he sent a small dog to the Danes. And he had them make the dog their king. And he warned the people that whoever told him of the death of the dog would also lose his life. So in these times, these early times, when a ruler conquered a new territory like the Swedish king did over the Danes, the conquering ruler would install a symbolic leader, which was specifically intended to be seen as an insult by the new subjects. And he did that to demoralize them, folks, making them believe that they were powerless to do anything about their circumstances. Now, this type of treatment, that leads to a powerful psychological effect on the masses, causing them to fall into deeper passivity and compliance as they're led by their dog king into captivity by their conquerors. So quite literally, this newly installed leader would be known as a dog king, because the new dictator, and can anyone say Barack Hussein Obama? So you have the dictator behind the scenes, Joe Biden, into a powerful position. Think about this. President of the United States, or perhaps a powerful position in the Senate. Can anybody say John Fetterman from Pennsylvania? So these dictators install these puppet leaders, these dog kings, to demoralize the people. And then they say things to their conquered subjects like, yeah? Yeah, we installed the dog king, Katie Hobbs, as the governor of Arizona. And what are you going to do about it? Now, there's David Icke out there. And whatever you think of David Icke, he had some good things to say here. So what I'd like to do right now is play David Icke. I think I can get him by I-C-K-E. No, morons. I think I can call that up by morons. Yeah. So in this interview, and he did this, I don't know when he did it. I think it was last fall. He calls our leaders morons. And he's essentially, without saying it, describing dog kings.
Yeah, Biden. I mean, the man is suffering from dementia. End of frickin' story. Everyone can see it. Elephant in the living room. You look at this guy who imposed fascism on Victoria, Australia, Daniel Andrews. Moron. Then you have people like Macron. You have the moron of morons in Canada, Trudeau. There was a woman called Kerry Chant in New South Wales, I think it was, who was their chief medical officer. Chief medical officer, you wouldn't let her diagnose acne. Moron. Why do they put so many morons in positions of power? Because if they can get you to see, because it's bloody obvious, that a moron is telling you to do something, and you still do it knowing they're moronic, they got your self-respect.
So what do you have to say, Joe?
So is there a possibility
Could it be private?
From you all are...
Absolutely, Joe. I mean, there...
Absolutely, Joe. We have been conquered by the Marxists, and they've installed dog kings to control us. You know, Joe was out in Virginia this week, and I think he was talking about some economic package or something. He was at some Virginia Tech Medical Center. And you got to listen to this new language that our dog king Joe Biden invents while speaking in Virginia.
By the way, you docs are good. If there's any angels in heaven, they're all nurses, male and female. If there's any angels in heaven, they're all nurses, male and female. If there's any angels in heaven, they're all nurses, male and female. You know why? Allow us to live. Nurses make you want to live.
What? Are you serious?
Can I have some more coffee?
Oh, yeah, I'm serious. I am serious. And again, Sky News picks up on this. And they basically, without saying it again, because I don't know if these people know what a dog king is, but Sky News's Rita... Where are you, Rita? Sky News. I guess I have to type in Sky News. I can't get it with Rita. You know, if we can get this podcasting platform up, it'll be really good because I think I can get rid of Blog Talk Radio then. But right now I had to use it for their soundboard, which is fantastic 10 years ago, but woefully inadequate 10 years later. So I don't see any development, Blog Talk Radio. You should have been improving this system, but it's the same system we had 10 years ago. So anyways, here's Sky News Australia host Rita Panaya on the dog king Biden. Just have a listen.
But first, let's take a moment and check in on the leader of the free world, President Joe Biden, who this week was given a clean bill of health from his physician, who declared Joe is healthy and vigorous and is fit to successfully execute the duties of the presidency.
Bridge over the Holly River. Look. And Washoe County in Nevada. We're spending $89 billion to add several lanes.
Brilliant. And Biden was this week in no mood to answer questions about his weird response to random balloons being shut down. And then he got very angry when journalists asked questions about his family's dodgy business dealings with China.
Give me a break, man.
But back to that routine physical he completed this week, where an extremely detailed neurologic exam found no sign of cognitive decline, none at all.
You know, our natural wonders inspire, and the reflection inspires our to take action. You know, America is a nation that can be defined in a single word. I was in the foothills of the Himalayas with Xi Jinping, traveling with him. I guess we traveled 17,000 miles when I was vice president. I don't know that for a fact. A solid meeting they make a very good point. Here's the deal. Here's what drives the driver in the states that are affected.
We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by go. You know the thing.
You know the thing. Now, Joe Biden has been cognitively sound for years. I mean, only a perfectly sane man in peak physical and mental condition would recount a story like this.
And Corn Pop was a bad dude. And he ran a bunch of bad boys. And I did. And back in those days, you see how things have changed. One of the things you had to use, if you used pomade in your hair, you had to wear a bathing cap. In those days, you used to remember the straight razor, you'd bang them on the curb, get them rusty, put them in a rain barrel, get them rusty. I got hairy legs that turn, blonde in the sun. And the kids used to come up and reach in the pool and rub my leg down so it was straight and then watch the hair come back up again. They'd look at it. So I learned about roaches. I learned about kids jumping on my lap. And I've loved kids jumping on my lap.
I'm sorry. Yes, no man has ever been better equipped to lead the United States and indeed all of the free world and the current commander-in-chief. We're in good hands, folks. Gosh.
Wow. So there you have it. Proof positive that we are being... I don't even want to say led. We are being ruled by a dictator pulling the strings behind the dog king, and I contend that dictator is none other than Barack Hussein Obama. Now, here's a title for an unauthorized biography of JoJo Biden, the dog king Sniffy Joe, a life and times of our national village idiot. And then as a byline, we could put in there how to demoralize a nation by stolen elections. Then as a sequel, let's think of a book for John Fetterman. Folks, you know what's going on with John Fetterman, another dog king. We need to call for a special election instead of a governor's appointment, which is going to happen here. They're holding out. I truly believe that. So Shapiro can appoint. Now, there's a lot of debate that you can't have a special election, but considering all the circumstances, I think we need to demand it. But they're going to buy their time. This is out from the Republican Party in Washington County, Pennsylvania. It's out for immediate release. Action regarding the absent senator. Because of the newly confirmed lies that were being told during the 2022 general election regarding the health of Senator John Fetterman, as well as the threats made against the journalist who interviewed him, the Washington County Republican Party refuses to take assurances from the officer of the senator or the Democratic operatives that Fetterman is able to carry out his duties as senator. As such, we call upon Senator Fetterman to appear on camera to show that he is, in fact, alive and well, and he is able to do so. And if he is unable to do so, we call upon our elected representatives in Washington, Senator Casey and Congressman Reschenseler, to intervene immediately. Ultimately, if Fetterman is unable or unwilling to carry out his duties as a United States senator, then we ask for his resignation and call for a special election to be held this year. No more lies or games. And this was signed by Sean Logue, Esquire, chairman of the Washington County Republican Party. This is some crazy times we're living in. These are really crazy times. I can't even believe this is all going on. So in the midst of it all, all this confusion, all this chaos, how are we supposed to have peace? Well, the only way you're going to have peace is through the fruit of the Spirit. And as we all probably know, the works of God, yes, God is able, and we worship him because he is able. But I'm telling you, folks, if you want a peace of mind in the midst of all this chaos and confusion, believe me when I tell you, You got to know his ways, not only his works. Now, last week, we talked about this. We talked about knowing his ways, like Moses did, instead of just his works, like the people of Israel did. So what I'd like to do now is just very quickly recap what we looked at last week. Some differences between knowing God's ways in relationship versus knowing God's works in reality. We talked about the difference between having rest and relapsing. Relapsing into your old ways, trusting yourself rather than God. Saved, you surrender. You put your hands in the air and forsake all and trust him. That's Jesus. You can only know God's ways in a relationship with God through relationship. And I want to just say this. The core to this entire relationship with Jesus is built upon obedience. Now, if there's no obedience, that's because there's no trust. That means you don't trust God, so you're not going to obey him. And if there's no trust, there's no trust because you don't love God. And you don't love God because you don't know God. So the point is you can't trust somebody who you don't know, and you can't know somebody that you don't love. And all you're going to see is their works and not know their ways. So to know an individual, you have to love them. And to love them, you have to trust them. And to trust them, you have to obey them. So it's this relationship that we need to have. And until we have that relationship, we're not going to have peace in the midst of all this chaos. So what I'd like to do this week is just continue and look at the difference between an intimacy in relationship with God versus a mere infatuation. Now, the truth is it's very easy to get infatuated with God, especially if you're a new believer. I remember how I was when I first got saved. Oh, wow. I couldn't get enough Christian literature. I thought Jesus was coming back next week, you know. I bought a case of those 88 Reason books. Now, in today's world, there are a lot of people that I'll call miracle mongers. They're always looking for a miracle. Just turn on the God Channel today, and you'll see one sideshow after another. And there's a big difference between this and what Jesus wants from us. You know, Jesus did miracles, but he didn't advertise them. He didn't. And people today that call themselves preachers and teachers of the word, not all of them, but some of them, that's all they do is they advertise them. And oftentimes, they don't even do them. They're faked. So there's a lot of people out there that are looking for miracles, looking to see the works of God. So they come to these events thinking they're going to be convinced. And we see this type of person in John chapter 2, when Jesus turned the water into the wine, which was a genuine miracle. And the Bible says many followed him when they saw the miracles that he did. So there were those type of people back there at the wedding. Many believed on him is what it literally says. Then the Bible says Jesus did not commit himself unto them. And there, John uses the same word in Greek. So in other words, Jesus did not believe in them. So they believed in him because of his miracles, but he didn't believe in them, for he knew man and needed not that any should testify what was in man. That's John chapter 2, verses 24 and 25. So Jesus knew that people could get infatuated by miracles and wonders, you know. But you still wouldn't know him intimately. You wouldn't know him in relationship. You wouldn't be able to obey him because you didn't trust him. You didn't trust him because you didn't love him. And you didn't love him because you weren't in relationship with him. And then later in the Gospel of John, you know, where Jesus fed 5,000, the people literally flocked to him. They said, look, a human cafeteria, a food machine. This is incredible. He's feeding us all with bread and fish. So what'd they do? They followed him. They were miracle mongers. And then when Jesus began to talk to them about knowing his ways, knowing him intimately, he used terms like eating his flesh and drinking his blood. And what happened? Well, I'll tell you what happened, folks. They left him like rats jumping from a sinking ship. And why? Because they were miracle mongers. They were infatuated with what he did. They loved what he did, but they didn't love him. They had no intimacy. And just in the same way, That's how Israel was back in the Exodus. They were infatuated with God. They were blown away that he parted the Red Sea. They were blown away, leaping and dancing and shouting and praising God. That was all infatuation, folks. But it wasn't long until they were moaning and groaning and complaining. Remember? Remember when they did that? They started complaining about the manna from heaven. They wanted their onions and leeks back. So what did God do? God had all those doves fall out from heaven and rot. Now, their Moses leader, Moses, their leader, he went from hero to zero very fast because these people were merely infatuated with God. They weren't intimate with God. So the honeymoon was over after the Red Sea, and it wasn't long before they wanted to go home, back into bondage. And that's what happens to us if we're merely infatuated with God. Now, I've noticed that people who get divorced for trivial reasons are usually people who got married for trivial reasons, namely infatuation. That's not genuine love, folks. And that's the same thing when we have a faith. You know, you can have a repentance that repenteth not, a genuine repentance that saves you as you come into this intimate relationship with God. On the other hand, you could have a worldly sorrow that'll get you right back into trouble the first time stuff gets confusing, stuff gets chaotic. So Israel merely saw the works of God, the miracles of God, you know, but they didn't know his ways like Moses did. So God made known his works unto Israel and his ways unto Moses. And why was that? Because Moses prayed, Lord, show me your way. And folks, that's what we should be doing right now in the midst of all this chaos. And that's the difference between rest and relapse. So we're going to have a relapse when trouble comes unless we know the ways of God. And then there's a difference between the intimacy and infatuation that we just covered. And there's also a difference between being a teacher or a testifier. People only see the works of God. They can be a testifier. They can give a testimony. Whereas people who know the ways of God can teach his ways to others. And that's what I'm trying to do with you right now, folks. So Moses could teach the ways that the people of Israel couldn't. Now, it's very easy to give a testimony, and it's good. So don't get me wrong. We all ought to give our testimony. And that's easy. So if you see God do something in your lives, you can stand up and give a testimony. And there are a lot of people that want to stand up and testify about how Jesus saved them when they were 9-year-olds. And I'm really glad for that. But everybody should have a testimony. But what we're going to do here today, folks, is we're going to go further than a mere testimony. And I want to get into actually teaching you the ways of God. Now, if you're ever going to learn the ways of God, you have to go beyond knowing what God does and getting into who God is. So did you desire knowing something more about the very nature of God? Not for what he can do for you, but just because of who he is. Do you want that, folks? Well, if you want that, you need to get a good teacher. And there's no better teacher than the Holy Spirit. So any believer can be a testifier. And folks, what I'm talking about today isn't a matter of your salvation. It's a matter of your sanctification. Because, you know, we're all sanctified according to our obedience, and then we're all going to be glorified according to the degree we were sanctified. No, we're not all the same in heaven, folks. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul's discourse on the planets and the heavenly bodies, telling about all the different brilliances. What do you think he was talking about there, folks? Those are the different rewards from 1 Corinthians chapter, 3? Anyways, find a good counselor, and there's no better counselor than God. Now, if you want to listen to me or somebody else, that's fine, but always check it through the divine teacher, the Holy Spirit. So what he'll do for you is he'll teach you to have an I-thou relationship with the Almighty God, and that's where you begin to learn the ways of God and the very nature of God. So the truth is that only those who take this step to learn the ways of God are going to become good counselors and teachers. Plus, to know the ways of God rather than merely the works of God is going to be the difference between peace and panic in crazy times. Think about it. At the Red Sea, they have their backs to the water and they're facing the Pharaoh's army coming to destroy them. Moses was the only one who didn't panic there. Everybody else was panicking because they could not see what was truly happening. And they didn't know that because they didn't know the ways of God. You know, somebody said, if you can keep your head when all those around you are losing theirs, it's a sign that you don't understand the situation. Or maybe, just maybe, in the spiritual realm, it's a sign that you know the ways of God. And that's the difference between peace and panic. Think about it like this, folks. If all you see are the works of God, then when the works of God don't work out just like you want them to, what do? You hit the panic button. Now, the truth is that the world doesn't view things like the Spirit does. And that's the truth, folks. That's the truth. You know, I just looked out the window here, folks, and I think I just saw a bald eagle fly over our property. Yes, I think that's a bald eagle, folks. Wow. Anyways, back to this. I'm sorry I got distracted there. I have to get my train of thought back here. So I was talking about seeing the works of God and then getting into a bind. I got to get my thoughts going here again. So if we only can see the works of God, but we don't know the ways of God, then when the works of God don't work out just right for your perceived notion of reality, then you're going to push the panic button. And the truth is that in this world, things often don't work out the way you think they should. Amen? Think about it. Think about a time when you thought you had it all figured out. You knew how God was going to work, or at least you thought so. And then God throws you a curveball, does something strange, off schedule. So if you try to derive your theology from the works of God, you're going to panic most of the time. And I'm telling you, folks, that's why we need to know the ways of God. Moses said, Lord, show me your ways. So do you know the ways of God? Well, the bottom line here is, folks, that as believers, we all need to know God in such a way that come thick or thin, good or bad, sun or rain, we will trust him. Just as Job said in chapter 13, verse 15, though you slay me, yet I will trust you, Lord, because I know your ways. And then finally, folks, and I think I'm going to wrap it up right here. There's a difference between intercession and indifference when you know God's way versus only knowing his works. So a man that knows the ways of God is a man who can intercede. He becomes a prayer warrior. Abraham was an intercessor. Think about it. Now, of course, Moses also interceded for Israel, because he knew the ways of God, but Abram also knew the ways of God. So there were other people. Daniel was like that. Joseph was like that. These were men who knew the ways of God. Eventually, Jacob also came to know the ways of God. So Abram had such an intimate relationship with God that he was able to pray and intercede. Now, there's a lot of foolish praying going on out there, and that's because people don't know the ways of God. So they're asking God to do things that he'll never do. And that's because the ways of God are often very different from the works of God. You know, Moses prayed, Lord, show me your way. I want to know you intimately. And so I can tell you that there are certain ways that we can know the ways of God. And what I'd like to do is finish this up next week by showing you how we can literally know the ways of God. But for right now, folks, what I'd like to do is just encourage all of you as you go out this week that's coming up into this chaotic and confusing world, stand firm on the truth, which is immutable, unchanging, and everlasting, and never give in, never, no, never.
Never give in, never give in, never, never, never. In nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in. Except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy.
And folks, remember that that same Spirit that rose Jesus from the grave, that same Spirit, the Holy Spirit, will teach you his ways if you simply invite him into your life, step off the throne your ego, and let him seat himself there, and you surrender your will to his. Folks, let's lift our hands up with Jeremy Camp and praise the Lord.
We're living in a very defining time in our generation, where fear is creeping in and the uncertainty of the unknown is everywhere.
I can see what is raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sound of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. I can walk.
There's an urgency like never before in my heart to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, to show a world that looks like there is no hope that in Jesus alone you will find that hope and peace, to stand up in the midst of adversity and tribulation, and to show the unconditional love of our Savior while not shying away from speaking the truth of God's Word.